show you love to hate.
I get more nervous in this room than anywhere else.
It's on your radio right now.
Do you know how to pop that coochie for a goon?
There you go.
It's the world's most dangerous morning show.
Got the cameras, a motherfucker.
God, Greek, what kind of show is this? My son listens to this show.
The Breakfast Club
with DJ Envy,
the captain of this bitch.
With Angela Yee, the only one who can keep these guys in check.
With Charlamagne the God.
I'm a lovable asshole.
And this is the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Good morning, Angela Yee.
Good morning, DJ Envy.
Charlamagne the God.
Peace to the planet. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
Hump day.
Good morning, Angela Yee. Good morning, DJ Envy. How are y'all this morning?
Good morning.
Yes.
I love the front page of the Daily News today. This is amazing.
Sympathy for the devils.
I feel like they listen to the Breakfast Club. They have a picture of Donald Trump and it says, sympathy for the devils. Trump defends very fine people at Nazi rallies.
He's really out of his mind.
I like that headline. They missed one word, though. It should have been a white between the and devils. Okay? I keep telling all you good white people, and I'm seeing y'all do it, you have to denounce these white devils among us. Okay? You have to condemn these crack-ass crackers among us. Because I was watching CNN yesterday, right? And you saw the video they kept playing from the Vice show, the clip. You seen the Vice show that they did about the alt-right?
No, I didn't see it.
Them alt-right, them Nazis, them white devils, they don't like none of us.
Yeah.
Black people, LGBT, Jewish people.
Nobody.
Any minority, marginalized, oppressed group, they don't like none of us.
Mm-mm-mm.
So therefore, it's us against them. And all the good white people, all the non-racist allied white people, you have to stand up and denounce these white devils.
And I saw Don Lemon talking about how those statues and street names that represent, like Robert E. Lee, people were upset about that statue coming down. The Nazis were upset about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he was saying that's like if you lived in Germany and you had to go to Hitler High School.
Well, you know, all that stuff.
What it represents.
All of that's illegal in Germany. You can't have
statues.
You can't have statues of Hitler and like Nazis in Germany. Like, it's actually illegal.
Right, so the fact that he's like, what's next? George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, memorials coming down.
Mm.
Crazy. It's really like, I don't understand it.
Well, it's bringing all...
I just don't understand it. I don't understand how this is who people voted for.
Well, it's bringing people together. It's bringing those alt-right, Nazi, white devil, crack-ass crackers together, and it's bringing together all the good people, all the marginalized and oppressed groups from LGBT to Jewish to black to like and good white people. We're all coming together.
I ain't gonna lie, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I can't catch up anymore.
Clay Aiken said,
"It's so much going on."
Remember all those times I defended Donald Trump and believed he was not actually racist? Well, I am a effing dumbass. I'm sorry.
First of all, who remembers Clay Aiken?
Yeah, who's Clay Aiken?
You remember Clay Aiken that won American Idol back in the day? I have not heard that name in years. Clay Aiken voted for Donald Trump?
Yes.
Clay Aiken's gay. Why would a gay man vote for Donald Trump?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
Y'all got to be feeling real stupid right now. Seriously, all jokes aside, I understand that, you know, you ride for your set. If you're a conservative, cool. If you're a Republican, cool. But you got to know you made a mistake by voting for Donald Trump. Like, you have to be sitting around with your head in your hand.
I think they might know now.
Saying I made a mistake. You got to know that.
You don't just have to vote for somebody because that's your party. You have to vote for the actual person.
Come on,
and their beliefs and what they stand for.
There's no way after what you saw yesterday you can still absolutely positively with a shadow of a doubt say, you know what, that guy, I made the right choice.
Unless you're David Duke.
Because I keep telling y'all, it's not about conservative, liberal. It's not about Republican, Democrat. It's not about left or right. It's about right and wrong, good and evil, and God and Satan at this point. Which side are you on?
But we'll talk more about that in front page news. Also, Styles P and his wife will be joining us this morning.
As well, Styles.
Yep.
So we'll kick it with both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And let's get the show cracking. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast
and
Club.
And I guarantee you nobody on the alt-right likes Bruno Mars. Because we don't even know what he is. He's another. So he's definitely part of the marginalized, oppressed people that they don't like.
Well, let's get in some front page news now. Let's talk Donald Trump.
Yes, Donald Trump. We all thought that perhaps he would at least say the right thing, even if he didn't mean it. But at least he's honest, right? And here's what he had to say during an impromptu news conference. And by the way, a lot of people in the White House Republicans and Democrats are a little bit astonished at Donald Trump's reaction to everything that happened in Charlottesville. Here's what Donald Trump had to say, blaming both sides for what went down in Charlottesville.
You had a group on one side that was bad, and you had a group on the other side that was also very violent. And nobody wants to say that, but I'll say it right now. You had a group on the other side that came charging in without a permit, and they were very, very violent.
Go ahead. Do you think that what you call the alt-left is the same as neo-Nazis?
I've condemned neo-Nazis, but not all of those people were neo-Nazis, believe me. Not all of those people were white supremacists by any stretch.
They were just standing side by side with people holding swastikas and... Yeah.
Look, man, we all watched Donald Trump's speech on Monday, and I told you when he was giving that speech, he might as well have been winking at the camera. He stuck to the script Monday, but yesterday he was freestyling. Oh, he
everybody
was freestyling.
Said, whoa, wrong thing. All right, now here's what Donald Trump had to say about taking down statues and other memorabilia that he says is actually erasing our culture.
Many of those people were there to protest the taking down of the statue of Robert E. Lee. So I noticed that Stonewall Jackson's coming down. I wonder, is it George Washington next week? George Washington was a slave owner. So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? Because he was a major slave owner. Now are we going to take down his statue? You really do have to ask yourself, where does it stop?
This just proves my point, because I kept saying all week long that good white people have to use their privilege to combat prejudice. If you're a non-racist white person, you have to stand up and denounce these white devils. You got to condemn these crack-ass crackers. What Donald Trump is doing is the absolute opposite of that. He has sympathy for these white devils.
He says they're actually fine people.
Yes, he's defending neo-Nazis. That is exactly the opposite of what you should do if you're a non-racist good white person.
But are we surprised?
No, not at all.
I'm not.
Not at all. You know, and that's why we got to stop with all the politically correct terms like alt-right and white nationalism and neo-Nazis. Call them what they are.
I keep hearing, these are terms where maybe he can be impeached. I've been hearing that for about 6 months.
Oh, listen.
How many times have we heard that?
We've been hearing that since he took office.
Yeah.
Everybody stop being cute with this situation. They're white devils. Okay.
Period. All right. Now, Donald Trump also spoke on the driver who actually killed one person and injured 19 others, who, by the way, his name is James Alex Fields Jr., is actually in the middle of a lawsuit now. He's being sued by some of the victims for $3 million. Here is what Donald Trump had to say about that driver.
You can call it terrorism. You can call it murder. You can call it whatever you want. I would just call it as the fastest one to come up with a good verdict. That's what I'd call it.
What?
Because there is a question. Is it murder? Is it terrorism? And then you get into legal semantics. The driver of the car is a murderer.
Yes.
And what he did was a horrible, horrible, inexcusable thing.
He was a murderer. He used that car as a weapon of mass destruction. That was terrorism.
He won't say that it is terrorism.
Those tiki torch devils that were walking around, I call them Vanilla ISIS. That is their name. They are terrorists. Vanilla ISIS needs to be destroyed.
All right.
Okay?
And I just have to let you guys know, they are planning 9 rallies at least this weekend, the far right.
They shouldn't get permits.
Nationwide. Atlanta, Austin, Boston, L.A., Mountain View, California, New York, Pittsburgh, Seattle, and D.C. That's where they are planning.
They shouldn't get permits.
I know New York. There's no way in hell New York gonna get my permit.
I know everybody has the right to assemble. Everybody has the right to protest. But, you know, I don't think everybody has the right to hate.
All right.
Okay? You can't assemble the hate.
All right. Well, that's front page news. Now, get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, hit us up right now. 800-585-1051. Get it off your chest. Or if you feel blessed, phone lines are wide open. Hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Get it. Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy.
Yeah. Hello, who's this?
This is Fred.
Hey, Fred, get it off your chest.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, crazy about, you know, people continue to ask Donald Trump to denounce, you know, racism, prejudice, the neo-Nazis, white supremacists, when he's already plainly stated, really, that he's part of them, they're part of him. It's like, you know, asking a child to denounce their parents, you know, or vice versa. It's crazy.
It's like asking me to denounce Wu-Tang. I'm not doing it. I was raised off Wu-Tang, damn it. Wu-Tang forever.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, it's crazy because, I mean, he's clearly, you know, disturbed about people continuing to ask him, hey, denounce these guys. He's
like, those are my friends.
He's a white supremacist. Yeah. He's a white supremacist sympathizer. Okay.
Not only a sympathizer. He's them. They're him.
He's a white supremacist.
They're one. And so it's clearly fake. Why would you continue to tell somebody to lie to you? Ask somebody. Okay, that's who he is. We know it. He's unapologetic about it. Move on. That's who he is. You know, we got to deal with it and move on.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he's open with it, though. I mean, you know, I've never dealt with overt racism. I always tell y'all that. I've always dealt with covert racism, and I'm sure we all do in our workplaces and in our schools. So, I mean,
except that he's the president.
Yeah, except that he's the president, but at least he's overt with it.
And he's empowering and enabling other people to do the same thing.
Hey, I'd rather know what's going on. That's how we flush it out. You can't hear what you never reveal.
If there's one thing that you can say about Donald Trump that you like, that's it. That he's out front about who he really is.
Right.
And so, and people study, try to question it and say, is this really you? Did you really mean this? Is this how you really feel? Yes. How many times do we have to tell you?
Let's flesh it out. Will the real white racist please stand up?
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset, you need to vent. Or if you feel blessed, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Pick up the mother phone and dial.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So you better have the same energy. Yeah.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, this DJ Bolt, man, calling from Baltimore. What up?
What's up, man? Tell him, get it off your chest, bro.
Yo, I was going to call about the Trump situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I got to get at your man, Charlamagne, man.
Why? Yes, sir.
Check this out, man. He's saying, cracker, devil, right? Suppose somebody called in and said, devil. How would you react to that?
You want to know? Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Well, there's a big difference between the N-word and the word cracker, because the N-word, that we're called that, all blacks are called that by these white racist devils just because of the color of our skin. You have to earn that title, crack-ass cracker. You earn that by being a racist, bigoted, prejudiced, tiki-torched white supremacist, okay?
I'm not family.
And I specifically said...
I don't want to cut you off,
okay.
Family.
Go ahead, bro.
I was born in the 60s. When they yelled, we yelled cracker. That's hate on hate, my nigga. If you want to call him anything, call him, like you say, right or wrong, man. Right or wrong.
I don't think that's harsh enough, sir. I think that we're being too politically correct. I think we're being too politically correct, and I really think that we're all coddling white racism.
See, here's the thing. That Trump situation, man, I'm not worrying about no neo-Nazis coming through Baltimore City. At all.
Why are we calling them all these cute names? Neo-Nazis.
No, I'm saying, you call it what you want. You know what I'm saying? But me, personally, I wasn't raised to call nobody nothing but their name.
Okay. Nah, brother.
Well, that's his opinion.
That is your opinion, but I'm telling you, man, we're being too politically correct, and we're normalizing this by saying things like that, white nationalists.
You might got a point, and I respect you because you're an author. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not really going to argue the point, but me personally, crack ain't going to come out my mouth.
I wouldn't use that word either. I think you can speak strongly and denounce something, but it's a personal thing.
I don't understand why we have so much sympathy for these racist people.
I don't have sympathy. I'm pissed too.
Listen,
right?
You know why? I'm going to tell you, as an author,
and as a media person, come on, man, be professional.
No, I'm not professional with racist bigots.
But I think what people are upset about is said because if a white person got on there and say ass,
it would be a problem.
I also don't want kids going to school and throwing the word cracker around like that.
Do y'all realize that they use?
You hear me, Charlamagne? If he came in Baltimore and said "devil," the L on that devil would be around his neck.
My brother, do you realize that they use the N-word to oppress us? Like, you have to earn being called a white devil. Like we're not just running around saying that about all white people. We're being specific about these racist bigots. You cannot tell me that when you watch that video of those dudes with those tiki torches walking around saying Jews won't replace us, blacks won't replace us, gays won't replace us. You can't look at them and tell me that's white devils.
Charlamagne, black lives matter, right?
Right.
But do they matter to black people?
Man, I don't
my know. My son in a wall, man. My son dead. And
yes,
you know
sir.
Who put him there? A black man.
Okay.
And I still love my people, but I mean, let's keep it real, man.
So you got your son got killed by a black devil then?
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't even call him a devil. I would call him a child that wasn't raised right, man, that's messed up. And I don't really want to cuss on the air. I'm trying to censor my okay. stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But for real, I seen him make a comment today on the news. Donald Trump said more jobs will bring this country together. Equality and money going to bring this country together, man. When everybody man, got they, a bad they,
Donald Trump don't care about equality with your black ass?
Well, he's not
what
trying
to
get
about?
I know he don't. I know he don't. And really, I think Donald Trump is a racist.
Well, we don't think that.
Right. So anything he said, they shouldn't have elected him in the first place.
It just amazes me that y'all care what we call these racist bigots.
No, I don't care. I don't
be nice
care.
To them.
You can say what you want, and it's not about being
about
nice.
I care about you and your image as a black man. That's what I care about.
What about?
Because you representing me on that station.
Well, guess what?
And there's people that aren't racist, white people that are offended.
Well, you're entitled to your
You're
I
entitled.
Mean, if you feel like that personally, deal with them on a one-on-one. But it's children watching this show.
All right,
well, you're entitled to your opinion.
You want a 12-year-old going to school saying a white man saying, cracker.
Yeah, you definitely don't
it
want
It depends
that.
What kind of white man he dealing with.
I don't want to kiss him.
No, man, take your game up, man. You said all we ever did was be black on your shirt, right?
Yep.
Man, come on. All we ever need to do is just wake up, man.
Well, man, I think you need to wake up. I don't think y'all really awake like y'all say y'all are. Like, this is...
Man, come on, man. You know I know the system. I'm 50 years old, man.
Mm.
I did 14 and a half years.
Mm.
All right? When I was 24, dog, I know the system.
And this is why we have dialogue, so everybody can express how they feel.
Yeah, I'm not upset. I'm happy, man. I'm happy for this opportunity, man. I thought y'all was hating on Baltimore. I couldn't get through the line.
No, we got love for Baltimore. Salute
well,
to Baltimore.
We appreciate you
calling Salute to you. We respect
in,
your opinion.
And like I said, man, there's no disrespect. I love you, Charlamagne. I love you, Angela Yee.
Thank you.
And DJ M, you know I bang with you. I'm a DJ.
All right, my G. Well,
all right, and make sure you
opinion,
go see
man.
That movie, Step. You're in Baltimore. A great movie about these young ladies in Baltimore with their step team.
Okay, that's what's up, man. Y'all have a good day.
You have a good morning.
All right, man. We're just being too politically correct with these racist bigots, man. All this white nationalism and alt-right. No, call them what they are. They're white devils and crack-ass crackers. And all the good white people, the non-racist white people who aren't white devils and crack-ass crackers need to stand up and condemn crack-ass crackers and denounce white devils.
Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you're upset and you need to vent, hit us up right now. Yee, we got rumors on the way?
Yes, we are going to be talking about the most liked tweet ever. Ariana Grande used to hold the record, but we'll tell you who has that now. Also, find out who has another victim coming forward saying that she was actually sexually victimized. We'll tell you who this third victim is.
All right, we'll get into all that when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
It's about time.
What's going on? Yeah.
Rumor report. Rumor report.
This is the Rumor Report.
Talk to him.
With Angela Yee on The Breakfast Club.
Well, ESPN has had to apologize for a segment they did during their fantasy football programming marathon. Now, they did a fantasy football auction, but they actually bid it on NFL players. Here's how it sounded.
Next on the auction box, we got Odell Beckham Jr. who I have $15, and then we're going to get $15, $16, and then we're going to get $18, now $19, going to be $20, $21, going to be $2, $3, $24, bid $5, $6, $7, $27, $28, then we're going to bid $9, going to be $30, bid $1, $31, $31, $31, going to buy $30, bid to $1, $2, $2, $3, $34, $34, y'all are all done, sold $34 to Shiny Top. $34.
Sounds like a slave auction.
I mean, even if you don't know the history of, you know, slave auctions in this country.
Crazy.
I know that somebody in that room, when they came up with that creative, saw Get Out. And somebody had to say, you know what? I don't think this is a good idea because this just happened in Get Out when they were auctioning off. Somebody saw Birth of a Nation. Like, you had to know that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah,
white man standing up there with a black man's face, asking a whole crowd of white men how much they want for him. Somebody had to know that wasn't a good idea.
Odell Beckham Jr. Tweeted out, speechless. Now, ESPN did issue an apology saying auction drafts are a common part of fantasy football, and ESPN segments replicated an auction draft with a diverse slate of top professional football players. Without that context, we understand the optics could be portrayed as offensive, and we apologize.
Which one of y'all Negroes want to call up here and defend that? Oh, it's just ESPN. It's just sports. Do you have to bring race into everything?
Nah, that's a little too far.
No, please.
Well,
America jumped the shark. All right.
Now, Bill Gates has donated $4.6 billion. That's about 64 million of his shares of Microsoft. And they didn't just specify where that gift was going, but he's made the majority of his donations to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Now, that's the largest gift that he has made since 2000 when he gave away $16 billion worth of Microsoft shares.
So, yeeks! I'll drop on the clues bombs for Bill Gates. Damn it. He got it.
$4.6 billion. But imagine giving away 16, but you have that much that you can donate. Now, he's been very dedicated to giving away a majority of his wealth to charity.
Oh, so. Huge philanthropist he is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Absolutely. All right, and who has the most liked tweet ever? That would go to former President Barack Obama. That was the tweet that he put out. No one is born hating another person because of the color of his skin or his background or his religion. And that was the picture. And if you have Revolt TV, you can see it. In case you missed it, that tweet was also the fifth most retweeted tweet ever, according to Twitter. So.
He's right, though. I mean, all of this is a learned behavior. You definitely aren't born this way.
Right.
You may learn it at a very early age, but you're not born that way.
All right, Roman Polanski, a third victim, has come forward. And this woman was 16 years old, she said, when she was in high school, when Roman Polanski sexually victimized her. She is going by the name Robin. Here's what she had to say.
I was sexually victimized by Roman Polanski when I was a minor at the age of 16 in 1973. The day after it happened, I did tell one friend that Mr. Polanski had done that to me. The reason, with this exception that I kept it to myself, is that I didn't want my father to do something that might cause him to go to prison for the rest of his life.
It's important to tell people who Roman Polanski is.
He's a director. He did producer.
No. Talk about the crimes. Forget all that.
I'm about to, but just stats. So they know who he is, he did the movie Rosemary's Baby, The Pianist, Chinatown,
mm-hmm.
a whole bunch of movies. He's won all kinds of Oscars and everything, and he is known for having sexually assaulted a 13-year-old girl who has since forgiven him and said that she thinks he should be free, but he can't come back to the United States because he'll go to jail.
He sexually assaulted a 13-year-old girl, then fled the country,
mm-hmm.
and then still won an Oscar.
He still won an Oscar?
Yes, he did still win an Oscar after he was out of the country. Out of the country for raping a 13-year-old girl and still won an Oscar.
Right. So now this young woman, Robin, says that she's not over the sexual assault after all of these years. They're not filing a civil lawsuit against Polanski, but they are exploring what their next step will be. All right, I'm Angela Yee, and that is your Rumor Report.
All right, thank you, Miss Yee. Now, when we come back, Styles P and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Adjua. Did I say that right, Yee?
Yes, Adjua Styles.
Adjua Styles will be joining us. We'll kick it with them when we come back. A lot to talk about, all right?
Yes, this was very important to me, by the way. If you guys recall, Styles P had put out about 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
their daughter actually committed suicide. And for the first time ever, they are going to discuss it. It's an important conversation for people to have.
Especially right now, because a lot of people are feeling down. A lot of people are feeling depressed. A lot of people are feeling at the end of their rope.
Or you might have children you need to keep an eye on.
Yep. So this conversation, I think, is very helpful.
I'm interested in this conversation. We'll talk to them when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Now, first and foremost, we have Styles P here.
It's P. Yo.
From the LOX and also owner of Juices for Life.
Yes, sir.
And all we also have his lovely wife.
Adjua Styles.
Hi. Adjua Styles in the building.
Hello. I was debating about this the other day. Was Styles the first hip-hop health junkie? It seemed like it, right? Yeah. It does kind of seem like it was, I would say LL, but Styles had the green juice and all that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I don't want to be the first and I don't want to be the last. Mm-hmm. I just want to play the part. And I think that's the one thing, like, in the health field where it's bigger than credit. Like I owe them a lot of things. What we do, we got to do together is strength in numbers. Like, mm-hmm. so to be the first, to be the last, that kind of puts a damp on what we're trying to do. What it is for you to take it, own it personally, and spread throughout your family, like, you know what I mean? So I owe a lot of thanks to my two partners here, too, Yee and Envy, because It's about the message at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, we in weird times now in the community, so we on it. That's all. We've been on it.
Because a lot of people was into the fitness, but you introduced the food change, you doing the vegan stuff, the juices.
Definitely so, because, I mean, I felt this important, especially for the streets. Like, we have a voice in hip-hop, and when you're a credible character in hip-hop, whether you rap, produce, make beats, journalist, dance, whatever it is, you got a voice that people actually will listen to. And I ain't saying go out and be, you know, all picket sign and righteous and all over extra do it if that's not who you are. But you should take a little time out your day, out your week, or sometime out your life to push people forward, because we're fortunate to have these positions. So it's a lot of people who don't have them, and once we get them, we forget how they were.
Absolutely. Now, the reason why I want to add you up here with you this morning is your strong wife.
Yes,
I was thinking
is.
As I was reading, because she actually gave me a sneak peek of her manuscript that she wrote. She has a book. And
lovely book. Yes, excellent book.
And we're going to get all into that. I was reading it, and I was like, I wonder if Styles, the way that he started eating was because of Ajua, because she also did go to culinary school. She grew up actually being, well, supposed to be vegetarian, but sneaking out and eating other things that she wasn't supposed to eat. But how influential was she on
your diet, heavy. Like, her and the juice bar was my whole turnaround. Her would implement me eating right, like me always being on the road. So it was coming in, you know, I grew up on home-cooked food. She always made home-cooked food. Then we started, like, I never knew what kale was.
Different versions of clean eating. We had different versions of clean eating.
Yeah,
like, my father was a Rasta.
Mm-hmm.
So that's idle food. That's clean eating all around.
Oxtails, rice and beans.
No, none of that.
No, Rasta.
That's not clean eating.
Idle Rasta.
No meat.
Okay, yeah, okay. No, got you.
No. Idle. No. Ground food, yeah. So, I mean, he ate healthy, but it was the way most people eat healthy now, the way they consider themselves to eat healthy, and it works in the household. Because honestly, I wasn't a vegan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he adapted that, I want to say, like, maybe 4 years?
Yeah.
4 years ago with my son. And I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm still eating meat, but I'll just, like, get organic or, like, you know, healthy versions. But that's still, after a while, it was just like, I actually saw the way the diet manifests with him and my son in terms of weight, energy,
mm-hmm. Attitude sometimes.
Attitude, everything, a lot of things. So with that and me monitoring that and observing that, I would just was like, you know what, I can do better. And I actually just went that way as well. It's just about understanding what's better for you. And then when you actually live the lifestyle, you'll see and feel the difference. And then you don't want to go back. And then you don't want to switch.
Right.
So that's the incentive.
Because it's addictive, like the sugars and all the hormones they put in food. And then once you stop eating it, then you stop craving it.
Kind of.
What made you go?
It's very difficult to find healthy alternatives.
Absolutely.
You know? Like, you know, the juice bar in Brooklyn. Other than that, you know, it's very difficult. Like, if you look at your certain area, especially in the hood, growing up in Queens, I mean, there was always a Kennedy Fried Chicken, a White Castle, some McDonald's.
Liquor store.
Jamaican spot to sell beef patties with cocoa bread.
I think Jamaican's healthy, man.
But, I mean,
that's what I keep telling myself.
I mean, idle. They have certain Jamaicans, yardies that just, like she was saying, like her father grew up, just eat idle. Nothing that swim, crawl, walks, flies, has a heartbeat, you know what I mean? Right. And ground food. And it is difficult where we come from, but it's options and alternatives. Like, you know what I mean? And we don't look at it like that.
The
reason
why you think that is because it's fresh.
Yes.
Which makes sense in how we should be eating fresh foods. You know what I mean? Like fresh cooked foods, not canned foods, not processed foods. So that's why you say that.
Yeah, if you go to the Caribbean, they're taking the fish right out the water.
For the most part. But, you know.
All right, now let's get back into, you actually wrote this book and you dedicated it to your daughter.
Yes.
And your daughter actually committed suicide. And I remember when Styles put up the post about her, and I thought it was so heartbreaking for us. But it is an important discussion to have, because there's so many people that actually are dealing with depression. They're dealing with people around them. We don't know what's going on in their lives. A lot of people have dealt with people they know who have, you know, mental issues. They've made suicide attempts. You said you yourself even had made one around the same age that she was. So what made you feel like you needed to write this book?
One is to just honor her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she was only 20. And be of an inspiration to people that want to have a voice, that have maybe thoughts or confusions or misunderstandings about themselves that they keep to themselves, as opposed to sharing or, you know, or just believing that they're human or normal because of the thoughts. I just think it's important to open a discussion.
This is one of my biggest fears, too, with my kids.
Yes.
And I try to stay on top of them because you never know what they're dealing with. You know, and especially with the social media area. Try to understand them more and see what they're going through and make sure they're okay.
And they'll tell you to a certain degree. As much as you think that they're telling you everything and you feel like you know everything, you don't know everything.
Because you and Ty were extremely close.
We were extremely close. I mean, I had her at on the brink of 19. And when she committed suicide, she was living on her own. So she wasn't with me. And I know, like, I feel within my heart, like, if I was around, I'm, like, her safe haven. Like, she definitely, well, she reached out anyway, but I wasn't there, you know what I mean? So I couldn't help her. She wasn't home, you know what I mean? So it's like, knowing that she wasn't home, what was going on? What were you experiencing? What were you thinking about at that time? You know, you don't know.
All right, we have more with Styles P and Ajua when we come back. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Everybody is DJ NV Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Styles P and his wife Ajua in the building. So why was your daughter depressed? Do you know what was bothering her?
What I'm thinking is, and what my assessments are, is that day, maybe that week, she was perhaps depressed. I think that her suicide was a culmination of a lot of things. It was her missing home, her trying to be an adult. She was also bisexual. So there was some, just some confusion issues with her with that. She was also struggling with her biological father's absentee, which was a major thing in her life.
Right.
And I just think she felt very alone.
She was going through a breakup.
She was going through a lot. She was going through a breakup at that time with her girlfriend. So it was just a culmination of all the emotions at that time. And I think, you know, it wasn't thought out, obviously, and it was just something that just
like
happened.
Some, you know, you know. With suicide, we often, and this is what we as a couple discuss and as parents, like people often ask, was she depressed? Like some, if we knew she was depressed, she would have been home, you know, or with us. Like some things you can't see because some people won't tell you or you won't ever get to know. So we all deal with depression on some sort of level or some sort of issue. So. But with suicide, it's often like the person's depressed. I've been in moments, not suicidal. I've been in moments where I've been homicidal. Not saying I've killed anyone,
so
but there's,
that you wanna just
but there's been moments where I would have killed a person. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You know, if it would have,
like,
many times.
Like, so we don't, with suicide, it's always that person's depressed. But there's a lot of activities in our life. Like, you have people that are suicidal. You have people that's homicidal. You have beautiful young women right now that's on the internet butt naked, beautiful, and have no reason to be, like, then you have other beautiful women who go out and use their bodies in ways that they shouldn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Just a young lady just ran out. So we don't know what causes these people to do these things. So it's hard to say what mental health is or what... I suffer from mental health every day, I believe. I you know, we got to wake up every day with a daughter that's not with us, you know?
As I say that all the time.
And a black man, I'm black
PTSD.
On top of that.
PTSD.
On top of that, I'm black.
Right.
You know what I mean? Or so.
You watch what happened in Charlottesville, and that's
Man.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
You know, as far as mental health for us particularly, it's hard to describe that for anyone. We believe it's just about cleaning your body out as much as you possibly can. Checking on people, checking on your loved ones, balance, and really asking what's up. Like, we see each other all the time. And this was actually, like, and these are things you have things, this is what marriage, go ahead.
No, I was just another thing, like, in terms of her being, this is another thing that we discussed as parents, in terms of her being bisexual, we kind of, how should I say, kind of casually looked at her relationship, meaning, because there were two females, well, this particular race relationship was two females, we didn't think of it as intimidating or threatening or harmful, you know what I mean? Because they're two females. I mean, I'm just being honest.
I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? So when they're having an altercation, I'm not thinking, it's as serious, and this is just me being ignorant. You know what I mean? I'm not thinking it's just that serious or that detrimental for her. Maybe because I'm thinking there's more sensitivity in that situation.
Yeah.
But it's actually not. It's actually a real relationship where there are two partners with two significant roles. And when you understand that, it's the same feelings whether they're heterosexual or bisexual or whatever, you know. Yeah. So when we understood that, it was kind of like, wow, I didn't take it as serious as I probably should have, you know. But that's just with not understanding that kind of lifestyle, which I don't. Right. You know what I mean?
So and I love how you expressed that in the book, and you said there was an aha moment for you when she explained to you. Talk about that when she told you, you know, at first you were like, oh, man, it's going to be so much harder for you, this stigma that comes with it. But then she said something to you. You guys had a conversation.
Yeah, well, basically, when she came to me and told me that, you know, she was bisexual, I was just like, you know, like, what do you mean? Like, where did you come up with this? Like, how did you, whatever. And she was basically said in like one sentence to me, I just love people. Like, I love people that love me. You know, like, if we have good chemistry and we love each other and we have a good energy about each other, I just like being around them. And with that, it was very easy to understand.
Simple.
Because I'm like that. You know what I mean? But not necessarily attracted to females, but energy I am, you know, so.
Was the book therapeutic for you in a way?
Very, and cathartic. Mm-hmm. Very, very. I kind of feel like I needed to do that, or else I don't know where I'd be.
Did you feel like suicidal after? Did you feel suicidal?
Oh, absolutely no.
No?
Oh, well, actually, it was very short. It was like, we went down to Florida, because that's where the incident took place, and I remember being in the back seat of my mother's car, and he was in the front seat, and she was driving on the highway, and a song, her favorite song, came on, and I just, like, kind of lost it. And I remember, they didn't know, but I kind of, like, opened the back seat of the car, like, the door, but my mom had the child lock on.
Thank
I don't know
God.
Why, because the kids are, like, over 20. And she had it on. So it wasn't, that was that.
Wow.
But, yeah. But after that, no. No. That was just, like, okay, I guess that's not where I'm going, and that's not what he wants me to do. So I just, that was that.
Because it seems like one of those things that you never quite understand.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
Not at all.
No.
It's something you'll never get over because you can't, you're not, your child is not there.
Absolutely.
And you expect your child to bury you, not you bury your child.
Absolutely. I'm glad y'all spoke about it, though. You know what I mean?
Because, yeah, we got to.
Because, you know, as a father, when I heard about it, you know, that's a question that you want to ask. You know what I mean? Because, like I always say in our community, we never speak much.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's something going on with me, I never say, all right, well, let me ask my brother what's going on or my neighbor. So as a father, when I heard it, I was like, damn, I wanted to know why, how can I prevent? Am I missing something? So I'm glad you guys are really talking about
it. What I will say about this is I have no regrets. Mm. I have made it my business for maybe the last 4 or 5 years, because I was forced to with the way this world is, just try to understand her a little better and understand that she's more like me than anything else. And with that understanding, it allowed me to have a little bit more sensitivity and more of just allowing her to be herself and make her own mistakes more and less judgment. So with that, we got closer and we had a really good relationship. So I'm just really glad that it ended on a note where her and I were at a really good, really good place.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of preventing it, you can't really prevent it, but you can be as close to your kid as possible.
Absolutely.
That way, God forbid anything should happen, you can say to yourself, you know, you've turned over every rock, you've done everything possible that you've needed to do, which I know I have. Anybody that knows me knows that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm with that, it's kind of like, I guess that was her path, and I know, like, I've done absolutely everything, so you can only give your kid 1,000% love, which is another thing I put in the book, because there's chapters on mental health and on love and unconditional love and support, because as a parent, I think that is the ultimate gift.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's the ultimate gift you can give your kid is unconditional love through everything, and that's what I've done.
All right, we got more with Styles P and his wife, Ajua, when we come back. Matter of fact, let's get into a Styles P mini mix. Let me know what you want to hear. Your favorite Styles P joint. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have Styles P in the building and his wife, Ajua Yee.
You also stress the fact that even if you aren't together with the other parent, you call your her father BS.
Yes.
As in before Styles. Yes. Not as in BS necessarily.
Right.
Or maybe it's a double entendre. Right. I don't know. But, you know, just the fact that he was an absentee father, and sometimes you don't realize what kind of effect that can have on a child.
Absolutely. Well, especially in the days of social media where, you know, you're literally absent from her life, but she can go on social media and see you with your other children and your other wife functioning. That plays on her emotional.
Absolutely,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like that's something that now I have to clean up, and now I have to try to fix, or I have to try to understand, because he's still in the household and he's been in the household ever since she was one. So she's pretty much only known him. She's only known him. We've been together for 22 years, so she's only known him. But she still had that longing and that need and that want. And plus she was, you know, involved with the family for a certain amount of years. But as she got older, that kind of just went to the wayside. And then there was just no contact at all. But, you know, she would act out in terms of wanting a father, and her biological father, and I would reach out, and then it would be so inconsistent that would actually be worse than actually him not being around at all.
Right, so, to come in and out.
Yeah, so at this
he was
point,
forced, he felt forced to do it.
At this point, it was just like, you know what? Let him do his thing. Let her do her thing. So he completely faded out, and when he faded out, that was when she realized she was older now. I'm out of the picture. I can't help any longer. This is something she's probably going to have to deal with on her own. That can manifest in so many ways as a woman. And as you get older, I don't believe it gets better when you have an absentee father.
Did that eat you up, Styles? That you couldn't fill that void of being like the biological father?
Yeah, me and my daughter were very close. Like, you know what I'm saying? To a point, it ate me up because I couldn't stop the pain, you know, but it's just weird because I don't hold anything against him now neither, because I used to be very upset with him. I understand that's a lapse in his judgment, training. Give me a second.
Right. It's okay. We
get it, my brother.
Yeah, we understand.
It's difficult as a black man coming from if you had step parents or step pops, or your father was out your household or something, you know the pain. It's just a hurtful thing all around, because we come up in households where we don't really pay attention to family issues. Like we so much on the hustle and trying to get the money that family becomes second and money becomes first. But so to see her grow up without that, you know, and be times I used to try to reach out to him. I remember one time me asking him earlier, like, I say, yo, you really don't even know me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Your daughter, she's a beautiful girl. I've been raising her for years. What if I was a pedophile? Like, you don't really know. Like, what if, like, I just asked him that one day, like, that should concern you. Like, there's so much lapse in the hood alone of black fathers and black men. We have children early with people we shouldn't have children with, and then we just think it was the wrong person, so you step off, and then the child's for dead.
Right.
And it's a sad thing, because it's all over. And then you got a lot of dudes who think, let me just bust this, get this, the kid, I ain't really love the chick, let me do. That's uncool, because then you got a bunch of pain sitting somewhere. Like, you got a frustrated child. Everybody wants to have a biological connection. I knew my father. My father was in my life for years. I had a stepfather. My father couldn't provide for me and do certain things, but he always gave me the utmost love. You know what I mean? But there was times I was like, damn, I wish I lived with my father. Even when my step-pops was cool and things, but you just want a biological connection sometimes. Mm-hmm. And when a person doesn't have that connection, especially a child, it's fragile to them. So every other part of their life becomes
looking for stability.
Destructive before it becomes stable. So it's kind of a hard thing to deal with, you know?
And besides that connection, it's also important to know about the father because of any type of history of
mental
illness. Yeah.
Yeah, because if you when you just have, you know, random partners and you have children, you have no history, family history, no background history in terms of anything, mental history, strokes, heart attacks. You have no idea of anything, so you really should know what you're getting into.
Minister Farrakhan talks about that all the time. He talks about the science of breeding. He says sometimes it's like you rolling dice in the back of a moving pickup truck.
Absolutely, and that's literally what it is, a crapshoot sometimes, because you don't know what you're getting, you know, so... And then you're upset at the result. You know?
It just sucks as a parent. Like, so I feel for any all parent when you wake up, because you expect your child to bury you.
Right.
So for us, we wake up every day and it's, you got to push forward.
I think that was the first thing I did, though. Like,
but it's
what you
getting
said,
better.
Think of family first. Cause you're so used to hustling and grinding and gotta make bread. And I think 5 years ago, I was like, the money. It's all about my family. Now I put my family first. If I can't bring my kids to something, I ain't going.
Like, people will be, and you know, it's about balance. Just like checks and balance. All right, go get the money. Go take 3 days in the lab. Go 4 days in the lab. Do what you got to do. But fifth day, sixth day, we're going to eat. We're going to watch the movie with our kid. We're going to do this and that. So it's kind of the balance. It's like a checks and balances. Because people often ask, like, how do you make it work? Because it's two of us, but we're looking at it like it's one of us. At the end, we make mistakes. We have flaws. We have differences. We, you know, we grow together, but we trying to build some to spread something else. Because we're in this, like, people, it's hard to say, especially when you're a gangster and you're a rapper and you're cool and you're hip hop. But we in a f***ed up world today.
Absolutely.
And if we don't start looking at serious matters, like, we need to say, all right, let's try to be healthy. Because all the healthy people are gonna gather up, get in harmony, you know, harmony, and then. We gotta get this world clean and put it on the right track and make people take responsibility for this.
And Azra, what about this book? What's happening with the book? Because I do want other people to be able to read it. And, you know, even just there's great things in there about you and Styles getting together, you know, at a young age and staying together all this time. Mm-hmm. And also about to come up even before Styles, just certain things that you used to do growing up. But I do think it's an important conversation just for everybody to talk about their mental health and to talk about the people around them and how to take care of ourselves and each other. So
absolutely.
What's going to happen with this book?
It will be out. It's definitely needed. It's a big message of unconditional love and mental health, families, little bio of myself and my daughter. But it's just some good inspiration, and it's just really good to get some insight to a potential situation that can happen to anyone. You know what I mean? So, I'm excited about it, and I'm glad to honor her as well. So,
well, good.
Thank you.
And I really do appreciate you guys coming.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
With us. It's very important.
Thank y'all very much. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club.
Hey, drop one of Clues Bombs for Styles P and his beautiful wife.
Adjua Styles.
Yes, man. Yes. You know, they came here and they shared their story. That is a very tough thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
You know, when you're not on camera and when you're not on the radio. So for them to come here and share their story about their daughter's suicide, I think that definitely helped some people this morning.
Yes, absolutely. Adjua actually is in the process of writing a book, and I had a chance to read it. And I said, you know what? I know it's a difficult thing, but would you come on the Breakfast Club just because it's an important issue for everybody to hear about? So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for opening up.
So glad they told their story. I'm sure there's a lot of people dealing with some of the things they dealt with, so it opens things up.
And it's okay to cry, people.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely. Let's get to the rumors. Let's talk Chris Brown.
Listen up.
It's just in.
All the gossip.
The Rumor Report.
Gossip.
With Angela Yee.
It's the Rumor Report.
The Breakfast Club.
All right, well, Chris Brown's Welcome to My Life documentary. They've released the clip of Chris Brown discussing what happened when he got into the physical altercation with Rihanna back in 2009. That incident was huge and has still affected his life to this day. Now, Chris Brown started talking about their relationship and just basically how she couldn't forgive him because he lied about a person that he had been with before her.
I just broke it to her. I said, hey, I want to marry you, but I want to be real with you. I want to be honest with you and tell you, you know, everything. Before we were together, me and this other girl did have sex. My trust totally was lost with her. You know what I'm saying? She hated me. After that, from there, it just went downhill because, you know, it would be fights. It would be verbal fights, physical fights as well. Like I said, I still love Rihanna, but it never was okay. Like me, I felt like a f***ing monster.
Why do women get upset if you already know the truth And then when I finally do tell you the truth, you still get mad at me.
Well, I think if you watch the whole thing, he was saying that they both talked about people they had been with prior, like they had that conversation, and
they,
he lied.
They shared the whole facts.
Right, yeah. And he lied. And then he admitted it later on, and she never really forgave him because... And I think part of it was also they ran into this woman. Like he said, the night of that incident that took place, they were at a party.
Did they ever say who the woman was or no?
He said it was somebody that he used to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that the woman he had previously been involved with was also at the party and came up to say hello. And that didn't sit well with Rihanna. And that's how it all kind of started and escalated. Here's what he said.
She looks at the phone and there's a message and it says, kill the Grammys, do your thing. And I didn't read the rest of the message. I didn't open it. So she opened the message, and the rest of the message said, I'll see you at the cloud party. So all the time, she thought I was lying. She starts going off. She throws the phone. I hate you, whatever, whatever. Starts hitting me. We're in a little Lamborghini. You know, she's fighting me, and I'm like, look, I'm telling you the truth. I swear to God. You know, I'm telling you the truth. Stop it. So then she hits me a couple more times, and I just kind of just, it doesn't go from translation to, let's sit down, I'm telling you the truth. It goes to, now I'm finna be mean. So then, like, I remember she tried to kick me. But then I really hit her, like I with a closed fist, like I punched her. So from there, she's just spit in my face, like spit the blood in my face, and I'm like, yo, so it enraged me even more. Like it's a real long fight in a car. We driving in the street. She's trying to grab for my phone, and I'm not giving her my phone to throw it out of the window. So she grabs my nuts, and when she do that, I bite her arm, I think, as I'm driving, because I'm still trying to drive.
What now, the hell listen, was going on
I
in
know
that
for
car?
A fact. That it's some old video recording of me or talking somewhere where I said he bit when we talked about him biting her. I said she did something with his nuts. I said that verbatim. I mean, it's not no reason. I don't give him a reason to bite her, but I knew that when you see a man biting, something to do with the penis.
All right.
I'm serious. And by I want to say something else. Did you catch hear when Chris Brown caught himself when he was like, I started to beat her ass, be mean.
Be mean, yeah.
He started to say beat her ass.
Right. So. Listen, he's reliving all of this. He said he felt like a monster. This really has affected his career till this day.
Oh, absolutely. And I also want to say, too, for men and women, don't ask those body count questions. Like, don't ask about my whole facts if you can't handle it when the ghost of penis pass or the ghost of poom poom pass pop up.
I think also part of it was that he lied initially.
So. True.
That's part of it. So you got to be honest about
absolutely.
Things, especially if it's somebody that could come around.
Exactly.
You might run into.
Exactly. But you still can't get
upset. And he did try to be honest, so afterward, but it was a little,
so
too,
what
late
a little too late.
I'm trying to figure out what did we learn from this story then? Should we just keep the lie going?
What lie?
If you lie and say you didn't sleep with the woman, should you ever confess?
No, you should tell immediately. Because then...
No, what we learned from the story is you never hit a woman. If you get hit, you jump out the car and run.
Now,
and
that, that's,
listen, and that, both
that's
ways...
That's not even up for debate.
And both ways, nobody should be putting their hands on
anybody. What did we learn from the story? Should we lie?
We
no.
know that.
You don't
I'm
hit
talking
a woman.
About... We know that part. That's biggest common sense.
And nobody hit anybody in any type of relationship. Because I never put my hands on anyone either, so...
Nobody wants to answer the question about lying. Can I be specific here?
Yeah,
I just want to know. I'm being specific.
Okay, I'm listening.
Should you tell your woman from the beginning? And if you don't, should you just keep it to yourself?
If she asks
if you
ask a question, either you have to say,
I don't want
to discuss this, or you have to tell the truth. You can't lie.
If y'all decide to do it, you might as well be truthful.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't say all of them but one.
Or you could say, you can't lie about it. Or you could just say, listen, I don't really want to get into this.
I don't trust women when they tell me to tell me the truth. My wife, they tell me the truth. I'm like,
you still
it's
lying?
A trap.
What do you mean it's a trap?
Usually when a woman says, tell me the truth, she already knows the answer.
Okay. Well,
and then we feel crazier that you're lying to us, even though we know the answer.
Or you could tell on yourself.
Guess what? Women always say that. When I ask you, I already know. Okay, well, you got to show me the evidence before I confess then. Once I know I'm guilty,
it's way easier if you tell the truth from the jump.
No, you got to show me.
In the very beginning, because that way you know what you're dealing with immediately.
I'm hard-headed. You got to show me.
See, lying is too hard, because then they'll come back a week later, ask the same question, and then you got to remember the same
lie.
Yeah,
then you feel like Kane in Minister Society when he's talking to Bill Duke. Listen, you got to show me. Now, listen, if you show me some undisputable evidence...
Mm-mm.
I'm going to confess.
All right. Well, you have no choice. It's there. Yeah. All right. I'm Angela Yee, and that is your rumor report.
I was born a donkey.
It's the donkey of the day.
That's time for the donkey of the day.
That's pretty funny.
Charlamagne the devil?
Possibly. The Breakfast Club.
Yes, Donkey of the Day for Wednesday, August 16th goes to Kim Kardashian West. Now, Donald Trump wasn't the only person out here yesterday making excuses for racists, making excuses for bigots. Kim Kardashian West was also showing sympathy for white devils. Now, yesterday, a person who was described as a makeup vlogger and beauty influencer named Jeffree Star posted a tweet and he said, Kim, what is going on with those new swatches? Looks like chalk. Now, first of all, I thought swatches were a brand of watches. What are swatches in references to makeup, ye?
Little samples.
Yeah, it's like
Well, thank you, Miss Envy. Appreciate you.
It looks like a foundation type of thing, like to match your skin, but I guess hers looks chalky.
Okay. Well, Kim's fans attacked Jeffree Star on Twitter for critiquing Kim and were accusing him of being racist because apparently Jeffree Star made some racist comments in his past. Now, I have never heard of Jeffree Star, so everything I learned about him, I learned yesterday. And even though her fans were slandering Jeffree Star, Kim Kardashian came caping for Jeffree. Let's hear it.
I see that my fans are totally hating on someone like Jeffree Star, and I see you being so petty, bringing up things in his past where he, you know, was, you know, negative, but he's also apologized for those things. And I get it's a serious deal if you say, like, racial things, but I do believe in people changing and people that apologize. I will give them the benefit of the doubt.
Here's the thing. There's nothing wrong with caping for someone. Nothing wrong with coming to someone's defense. Just make sure that person you are defending is exactly who they say they are. And make sure you know exactly what they did that you are defending. You have to have all the facts. Okay, a lawyer can't properly defend you if they don't know the situation. And lying to your lawyer is only going to make you and your lawyer look stupid, especially if your lawyer is saying one thing, but then evidence is presented that says otherwise. Well, turns out social media was right about someone for once. Okay, Jeffree Star in the past has made racial statements on multiple occasions. Would you like to hear some of this racist rhetoric? Here you go.
I win by having diamond rims, and you win by being a former Kennedy.
Strap, you there, bitch. Stupid ape, I'm gonna spray you. You're a nigger. You're a nigger, you ugly ass.
I need to transcribe some of that?
Please. Yeah.
He said, I win by having diamond rims. You win by being a poor Mexican. Shut up, you effing N-word. B, you stupid ape. Will you beat that N-word up for me? She's a effing N-word. You're a effing N-word. You effing ugly ass B. Okay. F you ho.
Sheesh.
Yes. Well, now, if I was Kim K. West, common sense would have told me, you know, let me hear what this guy actually said before I come caping for him. Okay, I understand that social media narratives about a lot of people are very wrong, but sometimes they're very right. You just have to go see for yourself. One quick Google search would have pulled up Jeffree Star's comments. Now, granted, these comments were made 12 years ago. People do grow, people do evolve, but this is a bit much, okay, to tell people to just get over, Kim. Now, Kim, when you said you hate when people bring up things about your past, we know you're talking about the sex tape and Ray J. That is a false equivalency, okay? Ray J's penis is not the same as racial slurs, all right? Jeffree Star spewed nasty racial slurs. Let's hear Jeffree's racist rhetoric one more time just to drive home the point.
I win by having diamond rims, and you win by being a former Kennedy.
Shut up, you there, bitch. Stupid ape, I'm gonna spray you. You're a nigger. You're a nigger, you ugly ass.
This is why you can't come to the defense of these devils. There's no, you know, rationale to their irrational racism, okay? It's people who came out and defended our celebrity-in-chief Donald Trump on Monday, and they were made to look like fools yesterday when he was defending those white devils who are acting a fool in Charlottesville. Well, Kim Kardashian West did moonwalk away from her defense of Jeffree Star. Can we hear that, please?
I really wanted to apologize to you guys and my fans for defending a situation yesterday that I really didn't know enough about. And I just feel a bit naive, and I do want to really apologize for me feeling like I had the right to say get over it in a situation that involves racism. And I just don't really feel like I have the right to speak on that.
Why she don't got the right to speak on it? She got a black husband, black kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, you definitely should speak on it, but not the way you did.
Yeah, the key word she said in there was she didn't know enough about it. Kids, listen. Let your Uncle Charlotte take his fish oil pills real quick. Hold on. Kids, listen. The moral of the story is this, all right? In life, you have to measure twice and cut once, all right? It's faster to double check than to make a mistake. And coming to the defense of racism or prejudice in any form is always a mistake. Please give Kim K the sweet sounds and the hammer tones, please.
You are the donkey. of the day. You are the donkey of the day. Yeehaw.
All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Mm-hmm.
Up next, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, call her right now. She'll help you out, put you live on the air, and try to fix your problems. Again, 800-585-1051. Call her now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We have TK on the line. TK, good morning.
What's happening?
Hey, what's your question for you, bro?
I got a relationship question with regards to me being an atheist and dating a pastor's daughter.
Okay, so you don't believe in God, but clearly she does.
Yeah, she is all the way believing in it, and I am completely convinced that it's a lot of propaganda.
All right, so you think God... Now, what does she say about this? You guys, I'm sure you guys have discussed it and had all kinds of arguments.
Yes, absolutely. She has broken up with me twice already over it. And then we kind of reconciled us because, you know, we feel so strongly about each other that when we hang out, it's not really talking about, you know, the differences. Mm-hmm. It's about, you know, just us and getting along. And there's a host of other things that we do agree on.
What happens if you guys have children? Would you mind your children being raised in the church?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I don't mind them going there because there are good things to get from, religion, theocracy has some good values it can teach.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also the concept of denying science, denying the reason. I don't like that aspect of it. So I think there could be balance. They could go to church and they could then go to the library with me or go to the Smithsonian.
All right. So your child would be able to make a decision when they get of age and learn about both.
Yes. I think that's the most appropriate thing.
What, they got kids?
No, I'm talking about in the future. If you guys want to have a future together, are you thinking about this? Because they've already broken up twice over religion.
They don't have no future. Can I say something? There's one thing.
Go ahead.
If you actually read your Bible and weren't an atheist, then you would know that in Mark 3:25, Jesus states, and if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. Okay? You're not going to stay with this girl. It's not going to work.
I've heard all those quotes. She's quoted all the yoked and the key equally divided. Her father and her mother are pastors.
Uh-huh. Wow.
Not just go to the church. They are the pastors. They are the connoisseurs over there. They're the purveyors of the church.
I can't believe she gave you some of that holy
I just feel like later on in life this is going to cause a lot of conflicts because this is really just basically how you guys view the whole world. It's so different. Have you learned anything from her?
Absolutely. I think she's learned from me as well. It goes both ways.
I was going to ask that next. But I'm saying when it comes to your views on religion, and obviously, you know, you can have any view you want. You're an atheist. You don't believe that there is a God that exists.
Right.
Would you be willing to go to church just to learn more?
Oh, I did go to church. They had a little thing called families, and they bring people over. And, you know, I went and I observed. And, I was raised in the church. I didn't start being an atheist until later in life. But I was raised in it and sort of at a certain point kind of looked at it from the outside looking in and thought to myself, this is convoluted.
Mm-hmm.
But I was raised in it. So I was familiar with the whole process, the tithing. I gave a little bit, you know, the whole nine.
Does she see you guys together in the long term?
You know, it's too early. We're like 6 months in. I want to, of course.
Oh, God.
I really do want to be with her.
A house divided cannot stand, sir.
Divided,
I mean, but there are people that are different religions that manage to come together and get married. So I won't say that it's not possible. I will say it's a very difficult thing to make happen. You know, it's a personal thing because the whole family, I'm sure, is going to have an issue with it. And it's going to be an issue. It'll be an issue for you as well. You know, you were raised in the church. Does your family have an issue with you being an atheist?
Somewhat, of course. You know, traditional American black family. That's not necessarily normal, I guess.
Right.
Do atheists like songs like Jesus Walks?
Oh, yes, yes. I can appreciate a good beat just like anybody else.
What about Tupac? Only God can judge me.
Well,
you guys are helping this problem.
Well, sir, I was just saying, I just want to end with this. You know, anything could happen. It's possible that you guys will be together, but I just think you have a much longer, difficult road to travel than the average couple. There's people with different religions, but they at least believe in a higher being, and you don't believe in a higher being.
I say you could do it. Stick it out.
A house divided cannot stand.
Thank you. I appreciate all those varying levels.
But we can't give you a direct answer on what you should do or what can happen, because that's going to be up to you guys. But I will say, make sure y'all communicate. You should get some expert counseling and expert help. And it wouldn't hurt for you to learn more about her beliefs as well, just to see if there's certain things that maybe you can relate to, because going to church as an experience, you can learn a lot from the pastors, even if you don't believe in God.
Church and religion is dominant in America, so you can't help but be familiar with it.
Right.
It's just, do you accept it for what it is, or do you put it in a box and analyze it? I don't know.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I don't know either. I want to say peace, God bless you, but you know. That'd be pointless.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
All right. Ask Yee. 800-585-1051. You got a question for Yee? Call her now. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV Angela Yee. Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Hello. Who's this?
This is Tiffany. How are you?
Hey, Tiffany. What's your question for Yee?
Tiffany, I know that can't be your real name.
Yeah, she stuttered too much.
But tell us your situation. Okay, the guys are going to be upset.
I want to say I love you guys. Charlamagne, you're the best. You're awesome.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate that.
Okay, my question is, I've been married to my husband for 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 beautiful kids together, but I am in love with my ex, who I'm actually still seeing, and actually 2 of my kids are my exes, but my husband does not know.
Lord, I told you you're going to be mad. My chest.
If you're in love with your ex, why are you still married to your husband?
I feel like I'm kind of obligated to stay with him because I've put him through a lot.
You don't think you're putting him through a lot right now if he ever finds this out, when he does find this out?
Yeah, I know I am.
So you feel like you're obligated to stay with him and hurt him even more and put him through more? Let that man go. Let him live his life and potentially find love and somebody who wants to be with him and be faithful to him. Why are you keeping him hostage while you do your thing?
Well, he kind of knows that I am seeing this individual.
Okay, don't say he kind of knows. Does he know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But like I said, he knows that I am still kind of dealing with this person, but this whole thing, he doesn't know about the kids, about 2 of the kids.
That's a huge deal. That's affecting your family. That's going to affect your children also. They need to know who their real father is. He needs to know how he's raising another man's kids. Just imagine the effect that is going to have on your whole entire family, the other children, everyone.
I know.
Listen, it's a foul situation. I think the best thing that you can do is you have to get out of your relationship. Let your husband, it's not fair to him for you to be doing the things that you're doing to him. You are destroying him.
He would rather us stay together until the kids get older.
Do you think that he would rather that when he finds out those 2 kids aren't his?
Probably not.
Give me his number.
Stop being selfish.
I'd love to call him and tell him how selfish you are.
Let him find somebody that will be with him and not be hiding things and not be secretive and not run around behind his back, and somebody who's not in love with someone else.
Tell him, Yee. Why you want to be so deceitful? Why you guys want to make them
let
so
him, listen, if you do anything for him because you feel bad about how you did him wrong in the past, if you do anything for him, let him go.
Right. You're absolutely right.
So what you going to do? You going to tell the truth?
I have to, because this weighs very heavily on me.
And you're going to have to for the sake of your kids, too. Just like we were talking about earlier with Styles P and his wife, Ajua. Their kids need to know who the father is. You need to know the history of the family and everything.
Yeah, man.
Just in case there's anything potentially that could go wrong.
You
need to know all of those things. Is your ex going to step up and
handle? He's very aware of the situation, and he wants to be a major part of their life.
Okay.
Tell the truth, boo.
So messy. Only thing you can do is do that man a favor and let him go. Let him find real love with somebody who loves him back.
And somebody that's not going to lie to him and make things so complicated. Acting like you're somebody else gets him frustrated, okay?
Listen,
it's one thing to cheat, but she done had
2 kids.
Yes, you got 2
by somebody
whole kids.
Else. That's something that for the kids. Imagine how they'll be affected by this later on.
Yeah, I know.
Do it for your kids.
You ain't gonna do it.
I am.
All right.
Do it
check
now.
Back. You got to check back in with us.
Now's a good time to do it because you need to know who's going to be buying your kids Christmas presents. Now's a good time to get this out the way, okay?
Oh, gosh. All right. Thank you.
All right, baby.
Mama. Good luck.
Boy, people be going through some crazy things in this world.
All right. Well, ask Yee. 800-585-1051. If you got a question for Yee, you could call at any time. Now, we got rumors on the way?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, we do have rumors coming up. And we'll be talking about a couple that is going through a breakup, and the wife wants sole custody. We'll tell you who it is. Also, Usher update. What is he planning to do with these accusations against him? We'll let you know.
All right. All that and more. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ NV, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Let's get to the rumors. What's that cowboy's name? He plays for the Cowboys. He's a running back. He got suspended. What's his name?
You disrespectful.
Ezekiel Elliott?
That's him. We'll talk
about
him.
You're so disrespectful.
This is The Rumor Report with Angela Yee. Rumor has it. On The Breakfast Club.
So listen up.
Now, Ezekiel Elliott's ex-girlfriend is saying that he attacked her on multiple occasions back in 2016. She told the police that he got extremely violent with her on multiple occasions, including one instance where he busted the side of her jaw. Here's the interview that she did back in 2016.
He has lost control and has yanked me into the wall, busted the side of my jaw. My face was swollen and a little bit bruised. And then I did have, like, thumbprint marks on my hand.
And these were all different incidents?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any police reports associated with these?
There is not.
Is there only one back in February?
There is.
Okay,
and that happened in Miami, like, him grabbing me. This happened in Columbus.
The allegations against my running back have not been proven to be true.
Okay, I'm going to get to that.
Okay.
Her name is Tiffany Thompson. Now, mm-hmm. Ezekiel Elliott has filed an appeal against the NFL because they suspended him for 6 games as they do this.
Such an unjust suspension.
Violence investigation. Now they have 10 days to schedule a hearing. He has said basically that she is filing these fake charges against him. He said that she got into a fight at a bar, and that's how she ended up having any types of bruises on her. That was the result of that.
Well, that don't sound too right, Ezekiel. I didn't hear that part. That don't sound right.
How many games suspended?
He hasn't been charged with anything criminally, though.
Right.
So I don't understand why he's been suspended for 6 games.
How many games is NFL season?
16.
And he's suspended 6?
We'll be fine.
Well, he's appealing, so we'll see what happens with that. We don't know what the real situation
is.
If this is a true story, he should definitely.
Wasn't it a thing about text messages and then she sent him a text saying, nobody will believe you because you're black and I'm white?
I didn't see that in this story, but you would know more than me.
I'm making that up?
I think so.
I think it's a plot from Vanilla ISIS, y'all.
I think Vanilla ISIS just made that up.
No, I did read that somewhere, but it was online, so that don't count. But I think this is a plot from Vanilla ISIS. They don't want to see us be great.
6-game suspension?
All right, let's move on.
Jerry Jones can't just pay Roger Goodell? Something ain't right. Roger Goodell got a beef with all the top owners in the league or something, man. Like, I think guys like Jerry Jones probably know they got more power than Roger Goodell, and they probably flex it and probably treat him like a clown. So when he gets a chance to, like, screw him, he screws
him. I'm sorry I even brought up the Cowboys right now. Can we move on? Thank you.
How many games suspended?
Drop on the clues bomb for the Dallas Cowboys.
Now let's talk about Cops. They are getting ready for their 1,000th episode on Spike TV. And they're going to do a special on August 21st called Cops Beyond the Bust.
Cops who?
Cops. You know the show Bad
Boys. Oh, the TV show Cops. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Cops who?
I was like, what, Cops?
You still thinking about the Cowboys?
I was like, Cops.
All right. Well, anyway, what's going to happen in this 1,000th episode has never been done before. Terry Crews is hosting, and they're going to actually have the cops come back in with the suspects that they busted before a live studio audience.
I don't want to see you. Y'all can't want to be on TV that bad that y'all want to come out on stage with a bunch of cops and talk about the time you got arrested.
So they'll show some of the classic clips and then bring in those officers.
We ain't about
hey, remember
no,
when I
no,
arrested you?
No.
Is Ezekiel going to be on there?
No, you know why? Because he didn't get arrested.
No.
Terrible, terrible, terrible stab at the Cowboys.
Because
he didn't even get arrested.
I was just
okay,
asking.
What about
I was inquiring.
Is Odell going to be arrested?
No.
Oh.
For what?
He needs to be.
For why?
Never mind.
All right, Jesse Williams' wife.
Call it back. Huh?
Y'all, can y'all shut up? Jesse Williams' wife is trying to get sole custody of their kids, and that's because, according to her, he has fits of rage. She talks about a road rage incident where he actually had their two kids inside the car and aggressively pursued another man that flipped him the bird. And she also feels like he's been exposing their kids to a revolving door of women, different women around the kids. She wants the judge to order him to keep girlfriends away from the kids until he dates them for 6 months. And she just feels uncomfortable with that. So we'll see what happens. And she says the kids are showing psychological damage, and she wants the judge to correct things ASAP.
Oh, hold on now. It's got a link.
What?
Hold on. It's from thebiglead.com.
The what?
The Big Lead.
What the hell's that?
It's the text messages. That's what I was talking about. The text messages from the...
I was like, you would know more than me.
From the accuser said, you are a black male athlete. I'm a white girl. They're not going to believe you. Go to thebiglead.com, and you can...
I'm not going to that right now.
Have you ever been to the Big Lead before?
No, but... Okay, when you're trying to prove a point, you can always prove it on social media somehow.
Are they a reputable source?
I don't know. They got a they advertise for the NFL mobile football app. They look reputable.
Is it on The Onion also?
No.
Okay. Drake, for the first time ever since he's been on the charts with Best I Ever Had almost 10 years ago, back in 2009, has finally dropped off the Billboard Hot 100 for the first time in almost 10 years. Drake's been on there ever since he came out with his first album. So, you know... I guess the last two songs he had on the Hot 100 were Passion Fruit and Signs, and those have now disappeared. But that's a huge, long run, almost 10 years.
That's hot.
Always having a song on the Hot 100 on Billboard.
Absolutely.
All right, and Usher is not planning to settle with the women who and the one man accusing him of exposing them to herpes.
He's not going to settle?
No.
Really?
Sources close to him are saying there's been no settlement talks.
Fight Usher.
And he has no interest in making those claims go away in return for money. But
no, that's right.
Sometimes people balance things out. They try to figure out what is the cost of me defending myself in court versus what I would have to pay out.
Fight. Especially if it's not true.
Right.
But then you can turn around and sue them even though you won't get nothing because they're all probably broke. But still, it's just the principle.
All right. Well, I'm Angela Yee. That was your rumor report.
Does Usher still have herpes?
We don't know what he has.
But I'm glad that he's back out and about on social media.
And
he's been missing.
Well, allegedly, you know that Ziggy will be suspended six games. So that's
Odell Beckham needs to be suspended six games for impersonating a Chippendale dancer.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
impersonating the gay Chippendale dancer. That's what he needs to be arrested
next
for.
Next is the People's Choice Mix. If you want to hear something, hit us up.